From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
That is right. Welcome in, everybody. Asan Hajivandi, Corey Clark, live edition of Wake Up WarChant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Look at this guy on the right side of the screen, man. Corey bringing it. Before we get to all the good stuff, Corey, MMDre88 in the YouTube comments from the WarChant wrap after practice on Tuesday. We'll talk all about practice earlier from today. Says, I'm a huge Canes fan. But I got to say, you're looking great, Corey.
Okay, thanks. It's odd that he's a Canes fan and watching our show or listening to it, but I appreciate all the compliments I can get. I was showing you some of the deal before the show even started.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, we're a Florida State show, first and foremost. Well, what just happened there?
We're also humanity show.
Well, we're college football. We're college football program. Right. I guess that's all the cool kids call programs now. But yeah, so it's a real thing. He said that. So shout out to him. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We are live, presented by our great friends over at Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. And I say great friends with all sincerity. Really good people over at Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Corey, you have an anecdote to share with the group here that watches us here live tonight. We'll only be live for about 35, 45 minutes tonight, everybody. So enjoy this while it lasts.
Just that we had – this was my mom's idea. It didn't even occur to me to mention it, but that my sister went over to Corner Pocket for the after party for the wedding. And she got a glass of wine, I think, a couple of them maybe, and then took the Uber back to the hotel, leaving her card there. Didn't realize it for a week. She texts me and says, can you call your friends at Corner Pocket and see if they have them? I called my friends. They sent me the screenshot of her card. She does not have my last name. So they only added, I think it was a 20% tip, which is customary when you leave a card. But they kept it. They didn't rip it up. They didn't use it for anything. And now I've got it back in my possession after 2 weeks. So that's just what they do at Corner Pocket, man. That's just who they are. Good people.
If they're that nice of people, just imagine how much love goes into their food. Check it out. Daily lunch specials, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Only $8.99 over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Since we are live, we're also powered by our great friends over at Vitamin Energy. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WordChampBogo. WordChamp, B-O-G-O. Shake it. Take it. All right, Corey, without any further preamble, let's get to it. Practice on Thursday, and gosh darn it, I had a notebook and I left it in the living room.
It's all right, man. I just wrote 1,000 words on what I saw, so it's all right here in the dome.
But you just watch the offense, man. You just watch quarterbacks and receivers. I try to look at some defense today and some offensive lines and pass rush stuff, but obviously, that was the main of the questions that we asked Coach Norvell after practice was about the wide receivers, about the pass catchers, and seemingly he talks good about one of them, and then he's like, "Oh, but this guy as well." Are you seeing something that you like from this receiving core this early on in spring, Corey?
Look, it's two practices. I'm gonna everything has a caveat. Everything will be qualified. Destin Hill looks like to me right now through two practices a dude that could be a real number one. He had some moments on the first practice on Tuesday, but he didn't do a lot in team drills. He looked really good at one-on-ones and against air. He's really fast and coming out of his breaks quick. They really like what they're seeing out of him. You can tell the way Dugans and Norvell yell at him positively. But then today, back-to-back reps, he had a 40-yard catch in one-on-ones, a 90-yard catch in one-on-ones, and then in 11-on-11, maybe it was 7-on-7, a really nice throw from Brock Glenn, who had a good day, by the way. Destin Hill caught a 35-yarder down the left sideline, plus had a couple of intermediate catches too. And the cool thing about the Destin Hill catch in 7-on-7, Aslan, was that it came right after an easy drop. It's like an 8-yard turnaround right in his mitts, and he just dropped it, which is going to happen. The very next play, he goes and makes probably the biggest play of all of 7-on-7. So it's good to see that response like that from him. And look, it's his second year in college football. It's his first spring practice. He and Benson, through two practices, that's all I'm saying, through two practices, They look like the two guys right now, but it's only two practices.
Okay. All right. Very well. Corey Bates is here, everybody. Give it up for Corey.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Some might say the other Corey. I wouldn't, though. He's just Corey Bates. $4.99 in the jar. Thank you, Corey Bates. We appreciate that. Has there been a pre-practice race between anyone and Coach Norvell? Who would win in a race between Coach Norvell and Aslan? Ooh. Or between Norvell, Corey, and Aslan? I would not win that. I don't even know if I would place.
You would definitely place because there's only three of us.
Oh.
But you might be getting the bronze.
I wouldn't show. I wouldn't place and show. So I wouldn't place as in like.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. I thought you meant places in one of the top three. So to answer the question, it's gotten out of control. He's racing like five guys now, including DBs. Quindarius Jones decides to race him, which isn't fun. Patrick Payton races him, and he can't keep up with Patrick Payton. The guy he beat was Darrell Jackson. I think that's who he needs to be racing every day. This started with Robert Cooper. Quindarius Jones is half the size of Robert Cooper. Robert Cooper is two Quindarius Joneses. So there's like four or five guys running with him now. He needs to curb that down and make it just defensive linemen, just D tackles. And he can beat Darrell Jackson. He's not beating Patrick Payton or Quindarius Jones or Edwin Joseph or whoever else is running with him.
I don't know.
I don't think I could beat him. No, I don't think I could beat him. Little too old. There it is right there. I mean, he can move. Look at that. He ain't Quindarius, though. I mean, that's Quindarius running right by him. Edwin Joseph, Patrick Payton was doing a Heisman shuffle into the end zone. But no, I might be able to beat Aslan just because I think I run more than you.
Yeah.
That's all. I think I run more than you.
Sounds about right.
I ran a 6-minute mile a 6:15 mile the other day, which wasn't bad. So,
it's been a while, Corey.
Okay. All right.
It's been a while since the energy emanated from the Midtown offices. Woo!
Oh, wow. Old Shane Dog.
Hey, everybody. Shane Big Spender.
What?
Shane.
We like it. Wedding present. That's a wedding present right there. All right, Shane. And Michelle, the great Michelle.
Because you know we still love you all. About to take off to fly back to Dallas next month. We move to Florida. They're moving to Florida?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they maybe – I don't want to blow up their spot, but I think maybe Tampa, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, I think so.
813 Hillsboro. Let's go. Shane, it's been a while, man. I hope you're feeling better. The Kirkleys were invited to the Clark wedding.
They were in town.
Yeah, they made it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Shane ate. We won't talk about where he ate. It definitely wasn't Corner Pocket. He would have been there full throttle, rocking and rolling. But missed you out there, champ. But I'm sure we'll see him in Dublin, no?
And yes, Dublin, maybe the spring game. Who knows? But Shane, you are the best, man. Thank you very much, buddy. And tell Michelle we said what up. I can't wait to – I don't know if he's talking about us. No, he said he met a neighbor. So that's cool. But yeah, so it'll be nice that they're in the state. It's easier to get here now.
Yeah. Shout out to Augie Dog, says he's hanging at the Corner Pocket watching War Chant live. Are we on the Vegas wall right now?
Cool. Well, I don't think that the volume is up because they're playing bingo, but I told Stephanie to tell Bill to turn it on one of the TVs and he did.
Okay. Nice. Very awesome. Very
That's
awesome.
Why I got to give him I should give him a flex on the way out.
We're going to keep Shane's name up here for a while. He's a pillar, but earlier on in the program, our guy Marlon, poor Marlon down there in Miami, although it's been good times being a Florida State fan down in South Florida. Shout out Mike Norvell. But Marlon said, good evening. He heard the Miami athletic director, Dan Radakovich, earlier on WQAM, saying that Miami was in lockstep with the ACC and they're okay with the new college football playoff payout. A lot of people are being heard from lots of different corners, Corey. North Carolina on the opposite side of that spectrum, but a little bit disheartened to hear Miami take that sort of approach, but I guess maybe that's part of the North Carolina salvo that was sent about. The teams kind of near the bottom of this conference seem to be enjoying and reaping the fruits of this pretty lousy contract, and they don't want it to stop. And sadly, Miami, look in the mirror. You're probably the lower part of this conference right now. Sorry.
Not right now. They are. And it's sad, again, because if this thing plays out the way it feels like it's heading, you know, is Miami left in one of these is it left in the ACC to be kind of irrelevant for the rest of time? Like, again, I know most people watching this show don't have any great love for Miami, but Florida State and Miami helped build this sport to what it is. I mean, those were great games, and that was a great program, and it's a fun rivalry. It's one of the more prestigious rivalries in the sport. But I think the real headline is it, and so he said, yeah, we have a great partnership with the ACC. We love the ACC, blah, blah, blah. The real headline is coming out of North Carolina. They had a member of the Board of Trustees that not only criticized what Aslan was saying about how it seems like the lesser teams are controlling the actions of the entire conference as opposed to the bigger teams. They're listening more to the lesser teams than the bigger teams, bigger programs. But then he also straight up, not maybe insulted Bubba Cunningham, who was the North Carolina AD, but definitely criticized the fact that he said that Bubba Cunningham, who was the North Carolina athletic director, seems to care more about what's better for the ACC than what's better for North Carolina, the university up. And so he criticized that because, look, that's the next domino, Aslan. Clemson was a big one. Florida State was the biggest. Clemson was a very big one. But imagine North Carolina suing to get out of the ACC, man, or that being the next step. Because it certainly seems like seeds are being planted for that to happen, that North Carolina is going to want to ask out or at least explore other options as well.
Yeah, I was trying to pull up maybe one of those quotes to put on here on the screen, but was not able to pop it up on here. But that's, yeah, man. I mean, you joked about it. It would be like
Siegfried suing Roy, or peanut butter suing jelly. Like, North Carolina and the ACC are one and the same. And when North Carolina, look, that's not done out of nowhere. We saw it play out in Tallahassee, man. When these board of trustees go in front and microphones and make public statements, there's a reason behind it. It's not flippant. So for him to come out and say that, there was a purpose to kind of just, again, let people know North Carolina is very interested in moving on if they get a chance. That's what it seems like, right? This is not just done in a void or a vacuum. He knows what he's doing, and he was, you know, there's a reason that he's going public. And you can say, yeah, well, because of Clemson 2 days ago. But, you know, I remember North Carolina coming out that hard in favor of of maybe looking at another place, you know, a year ago or whatever it was, 10 months ago, when the Board of Trustees had their meeting for Florida State. So I think that's something to track. North Carolina is a big deal.
It's like your mom disowning you, says Lee Fields on Facebook.
Yeah. North Carolina is the ACC, man. And they're obviously the state school. They're the flagship school, the biggest school, and have been the prominent school in the conference for almost every sport but football. So for them for a Board of Trustees member to be talking that publicly about wanting to move on or looking, exploring it, complaining about the ACC, maybe that's more important. That's more specific of what was happening. He was just complaining about the ACC right now. I think that's very telling.
You know, the top line of all this is that it's finally happening, right?
Yeah.
But I just can't help but be a little bit irked that, you know, again, man, like, this isn't me sucking up to the boss, man, but for years, I mean, maybe a whole decade now, Gene Williams, founder and minister of warchant.com, has been like pounding the desk about this sort of stuff. And I don't think a lot of, you know, I know some of the media and the ACC bubble took shots at Florida State's leadership and administration after they filed suit or started, you know, talking out about this. But, you know, why did Florida State have to, I just cannot believe everybody was almost waiting. Everyone had to know of just the huge, vast discrepancy between where the ACC was going to go and where the SEC and the Big Ten were going to go. And then the whole fact about like the grant of rights being locked behind, you know, Fort Knox practically. Yeah. You can't take photos of it. You can't take it off premises. Like all these sort of things. I just cannot. It blows my mind that it took Peter Collins becoming the Board of Trustees chairman at Florida State to really get this whole thing rolling. Shout out to him, by the way, obviously. But again, I guess we should all be excited it's finally happening. But man, it's still tenuous about where they could ultimately land. And you would have hoped that you know, cooler heads would have shot off by now. Before,
yeah, and again, I think it's more of who knows where they're gonna stand put, and there is a risk. I mean, it's not a small, minute risk that Florida State leaves the ACC and maybe doesn't have anywhere to go. I would be surprised to stunned by that, but it's, you know, we don't know for sure that it's a guarantee they have a landing spot, but we do know if they want to be competitive in this sport for the rest of our lifetimes, they can't stay in this conference. So it is, even if it's a 1% risk or a 30% risk of not finding a home, you can't just be in the ACC, because this thing is, it's just disastrous if you're trying to compete with Florida and Ohio State and Michigan and Auburn and blah, blah, blah.
Back to the questions. We'll get back some more observations from practice on Thursday. Hit the thumbs up if you're just joining us, everybody. We certainly would appreciate it. Pings the video out. Lets people know we're all hanging out, having fun, talking Noles. David Glitz. Guys, how about Mike's smile when asked about?
He means Jalen Lucas. He got deflated there. Yeah.
Jalen Lucas catching passes out of the backfield. He was clearly excited about the possibilities. I think I had him on a good catch on 11-on-11. Either that or no, it was, I think it was Sione Lolahea had some good pass rush in 11-on-11 and number 13. But yeah, man, Jalen Lucas. He's like a little ball of muscle. He's kind of not like Doug Martin, but he just buzzes. He's, again, we talked about on the show yesterday, Corey, he just, I don't want to call it like electric, but man, he just has that kind of shiver to him that he's just constantly moving like a ball of energy.
Yes, energy. He is. He, I mean, you see where Ja'Kai gets it. I mean, they share the same DNA, man, because imagine Ja'Kai, but he's more explosive than Ja'Kai. I don't know that he's a better football player. Ja'Kai had a couple really nice plays on Thursday, and has also made a number of big time plays in his career at Florida State. But this dude has some juice with the ball in his hands, a lot of juice. And again, so does Dustin Hill, so does Jaylen Brown. Those three guys to me so far look like the three fastest guys on offense. Would you agree with that? I mean, I guess I don't know how much you're paying attention to that kind of stuff or watching them in one on ones, because I know you're putting up video. But watching them on air, just running their routes in and out of breaks and with the ball in their hands, like Lucas caught one on a screen pass today. Now, he would have been pushed out of bounds after about 8 or 9 yards, but he still has to run the full length of the field because that's how they want to finish drills. And, yeah, he can absolutely move. He is very, very fast. It's a faster football team on offense. Don't know if it's going to be better, but it's faster.
I still haven't seen anything in the moments that I've watched and observed practice. I still haven't seen Jaylen Brown do anything that has stood out, but I will defer to you and Ira. I know you guys talked about it on Tuesday after the first practice and, you know, compared him to Rashad Greene on the show yesterday. So I will.
Well, hold up. Just the way he moves, and that's his body type and the way he moves. I would not throw that on anyone. You're talking about, I don't know, man, the second most productive receiver in Florida State history. I'm not throwing the Rashad Greene comparisons at him. But he reminds me of that in the way he moves. He did have a catch in 11-on-11 from Brock Glenn, which might have gone for a 50-yard touchdown if they hadn't have blown the whistle dead. It was him and Kirkland in open space, one-on-one. And he's a shifty dude. Another impressive play that I saw.
I do have 11-6. But
I didn't want to say the context of how he got open because they kind of frown on that. Yeah. But I did love that Brock Glenn saw immediately that he was open. And Brock Glenn had a strong day. He was not all that good Tuesday. With his accuracy, I thought he had a really strong day on Thursday. I thought he was their best quarterback on Thursday. DJ was fine, but Brock Glenn made all the throws. But yeah, so going back to Jaylen Brown, that move where he catches it and then a quick shift against Kirkland, that's going to be tough for a safety to be making a play against a kid like Jaylen Brown. But I also wanted to say Cam Davis, the running back, right? Yes. Isn't that his last name, Davis?
Yes.
He had a run, and again, folks, they're not wearing pads. They're just in helmets. No pads at all. But he had a run through the left side where he has a nice burst, man, for a kid that looks like a bodybuilder. Really nice burst. But he made like back-to-back jump cuts off his – he did a jump cut with his left foot to go right, got by a linebacker, and then the safety was coming up, and he did a really quick jump cut again off the same left foot to get what I think was going to get by him. That was that athleticism was really impressive at that size.
No. All right.
Oh, just to answer that question, Lee. Yeah, it's hard to tell because there's no pads on and they're not being tackled. He certainly looks. He is an enormously built human being, and those two jump cuts that I saw on that run were really impressive. I thought.
Had DJ Lundy with a nice PBU and 11-on-11.
Earl Little had three.
Really?
Wanted to throw that out there. Yeah, including two that were almost intercepted.
He dropped. I did put him down as a dropped interception. Get better, Earl.
Yeah.
Screen pass to, well, I shouldn't say screen pass, but Byron Turner overdrive with a PBU.
Yeah.
That
play nice was out run. The gate. That play was out the gate, too, if he doesn't make that play.
Yeah. Roydell had a nice run. Roydell and Cam Davis had like the only good runs during 11-on-11. Otherwise, I mean, the defense controlled the day, and that's where they're supposed to be at this point in time. Sione Lolahea had a really nice pass rush where he dropped down and got so low and just absolutely bull rushed the tackle that was in front of him. Luke Kromenhawk had a nice, I don't know if they would have blown it dead. He probably would have got sacked in a real live game, maybe even on next Thursday scrimmage, but he kind of went sidearm. Did you see that one, Corey?
Yeah,
he dropped the arm down, went to a different slot, and threw it to LaWayne McCoy, who was volunteered by Coach Norvell after practice, speaking about him. So it was exciting to see some of the true freshmen shine.
I would say McCoy out of the true freshmen. I think there's three on campus right now. McCoy, through two practices, again, two, has probably been the most impressive.
All right.
Kromenhawk did throw three straight interceptions on three straight throws. Conrad Hussey made a great play. He had two picks today, by the way, Hussey. One in one-on-ones and then one against Kromenhawk. Kind of ill-advised over the middle, but it was a really nice by seven-on-seven, but it was a really nice read by Conrad. And then Kromenhawk got unlucky with a deflected pass that was ended up being intercepted by a walk-on linebacker. And then he threw one right to Edwin Joseph rolling out to the right. And again, I say all that, it's his second ever college practice. There are going to be some rough, it's going to be some rough going, especially, I mean, he's on the field with Conrad Hussey, who might be a starting safety at Florida State. So he's playing against, they're not slowing anything down for him. They never do. They throw these guys right into the fire, and sometimes they're going to get burned.
Randy McGarrah. Is 7-on-7, 11-on-11 forbidden? Footage of it forbidden. We never get to see it. Yes.
Correct.
Yes. They have allowed us in these first 2 days to film period number three. And period number three, as we hopefully know to the uninitiated, though, it's when they do like a tempo 11-on-11 drill during the season. Right now, through the first practices without pads, is just 11 guys on offense running a play against air. They've allowed us to film that. I assume they'll let us probably on Saturday as well, but then the pads come on next Tuesday. I would think probably at that point they'll have us stop filming that. I hope they don't, but I would assume they'll probably tell us at that point to stop filming that. And otherwise, yeah, 7-on-7 is later on, like period 15 or something, after they get done doing special teams, or even after that. They do one-on-ones after special teams, but yeah, they don't. We get individual drills. Like they'll show us teaching their fundamentals and what they're trying to accomplish, but they don't want us to show scheme, concepts, things of that nature, which I'll be persnickety about it. I think we could get away with doing it, but we have a professional camera and a professional cameraman. Everybody else is filming on their phone. And as you all know, when you're filming on your phone, you can see everything. So they don't want the all 22 to be shown, which is pretty much what you're showing on a cell phone. But, hey, we'll all play by the same rules. But yeah, that's why you have to rely on Corey's observations as a subscriber at warchant.com to get what's going on with the 7-on-7, 11-on-11 stuff. So that is that. Rick Flair is here. Says he's got a 4-hour daily commute.
Oh,
is that one way?
Hopefully that's to and fro. And even then, Rick, that's rough, man. Yeah.
But he's got a limousine, right? I mean, I got a limousine.
Yeah. He's going to his wrestling show.
Appreciate you listening, man. That's awesome. Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much. Here's Dave, everybody. Dave from Bardstown, our limerick composer from the other day. $10 in the jar. Thank you, Dave. Shout out T-Bone as well. Keep forgetting his daughter's name, though. Regarding the 3-year-old on the transatlantic flight, Corey, you've already said you're on the Thursday flight from Orlando to Manchester, but what seat will you be in?
We changed it, Dave. I'm not going anymore. So I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I have no idea what seat I'm in, quite honestly. Yeah, Manchester will be a fun flight. I'm sure I'll love it.
I meant to look into that.
Jet fly and limousine riding. That's Ric Flair for you.
My shoes cost more than your house. Dwayne Miller Jr. here, everybody. What's up, Dwayne? How are the linebackers looking? I know it's early, but that's a position of concern going into next season.
By the way, Dave, thank you for the tip. We do appreciate that. Thank you very much, buddy. Hey, your three-year-old can sit by me anytime. That sounded crazy. That should have never come out of my mouth. That's not that. Guys, come on. Don't clip that out. So linebackers, like Aslan said, Lundy had a nice pass breakup. And then I thought what I thought was my favorite play, maybe all of 11 on 11, was they ran a screen pass right near the end to our man that we were talking about, Jalen Lucas, and Sean Murphy read it perfectly, diagnosed it perfectly, and was right there when he caught. I don't even know if he caught it, but if he caught it, Murphy was right there and it diagnosed it and triggered perfectly to get there against a dude that is one of the faster dudes in the country. And Sean Murphy hemmed him up and it was no gain. And Florida State has great screen designs and packages. That was really cool to see him make a play like that. That was a really big time play.
Reason I was shaking my head was because you specifically said what brand of pass it was. But yeah, I remember that play. I marked it down in the old notebook as well. I think he did catch it, but he was in immediately enveloped by Murphy. So that was good to see because I thought when we were at a tour of duty, like Murphy to me just looked to be, I don't know, just not fast enough, like not very twitchy. Didn't see any kind of like explosion and burst out of him in those drills. But again, it's 6 a.m. He was probably up at 4 a.m. and had to get ready for a squat party the next day as well. So I reserve judgment on the young man, but that was good to see. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's really DJ, him. I'm trying to think some of the other guys at linebacker, but
Cryer, I know Cryer had a PBU on a play. Yeah. Cryer did. But again, it's like, you know, it's a lot of throwing the ball. There's not a lot of run game stuff when nobody's in pads. So it's basically coverage, and they're not getting a ton of like rep after rep after rep. There's a lot of substituting. But yeah, there weren't a ton of plays that stood out with the linebackers. But I will say this, at least in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 so far, nobody's getting torched. The defense is kind of owning the days, or at least playing very well and not giving up huge plays, so I assume they're doing all right.
Man, mybookie.ag, promo code WARCHANT. Use that. Get an instant cash deposit bonus. The funny inflection in my voice is because we're doing the show live, obviously, as you're watching us here. And I thought I'd pull up some live lines. And I don't know if these are live, though. I don't know if it's refreshed, because last I saw, like, Texas was thumping Colorado State.
Yeah, Colorado State had 11 points at half. So I would go ahead and jump all over the Longhorns plus 1.5, folks, if you can get it. Aslan, try to get it. Kentucky is losing at half to Oakland. Some kid has made 7 threes for Oakland already.
Yes,
not Steph Curry. So we'll see how those games go. I assume Kentucky will still pull away in that one. But yeah, Colorado State had 11 points at half.
I keep hearing
after, that's what Virginia does to you, man. They're contagious.
I mean, I'm keep hitting refresh. The over under 73.5, which checks out. Like, are we sure Colorado State hasn't gone on some crazy run, Corey?
Well, wouldn't they give you the score? No, we're not. We're not. You know what? I'll look it up right now. No,
it's 39-32. Texas is up right now with 7:10 left to go. So,
I still think Texas would be getting 1.5 by 7.
Everybody run. Go take my bookie down. Use the promo code WARCHANT when you sign up for the first time. You'll get an instant cash deposit bonus. To withdraw, though, you do need to spend one time your deposit total, including your bonus for withdrawal. For full terms and conditions, visit mybookie.ag/about-us. Hope everybody's parlays did all right. Mine did not, but we're not here to discuss that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Charlie's here. Which coach is talking to the quarterbacks through the helmet? Norvell, Atkins. I saw Mike on a walkie-talkie on Tuesday. I don't remember seeing anybody. I was on the kind of back end when they're doing 11 on 11, watching some pass rush stuff, or before they, I'm sorry, during 7 on 7. So 11 on 11, I wasn't paying attention to it, Corey. I don't know if you saw it, but Tony Tokars, we spoke to him after practice on Thursday, says he's a real big fan of the headset stuff, and they plan on using it as early as Thursday in their first scrimmage.
Okay. Yeah, but I guess we don't know. We can ask that, Charlie. And it's going to be interesting, man, because I will say this, they have huddled a few times in these 11 on 11 scenarios with the headsets, using the headsets, but then they've also used the signs on the sidelines. So I don't know what kind of impact it's actually going to have on the flow of a game. I think it's more like the coach can talk to the quarterback about the play he just had or the play that's coming up and what the first, you know what I mean? Like what the first read is. More than telling them the play itself, because they're not going to huddle much. Nobody huddles. So I think that communication in the helmet, to me anyway, is going to be more about the overall flow of a game and what to look for on these particular plays, not just a play call. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because the play call will be held up by the dudes on the sideline. So it'll be more about the what was good or bad on the previous play and what to look for on the next play, I guess. It'd be cool if it was just open dialogue the whole time. And the coach could be, watch out, watch out. Our test is open. Throw it. Throw it to your left. Just throw it up.
My buddy played offensive line, which here at Florida State, and he actually texted me. He said that he enjoys watching the practice video. He said, new video at today's practice around the 6:30 minute mark. What a cool defensive drill. I've never seen them do that. To which I said yes as well. But he played offensive line. And I remember asking him, I'm like, if you get beat, like, do you guys turn around and yell, like, get, like, throw the ball or, like, yeah, watch out? He's like, no.
Uh-oh.
Like the Carl Lewis, uh-oh, his voice cracks during the national anthem. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mark's here, everybody, from Naples. Our dude, right. Mark, big dog.
Big ballin', smashing, making my ends.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you, man. $50 in the jar. What's up, my friends? If DJ Uiagalelei suffers an injury in the Dublin game, what quarterback does Mike throw in there, or just Wildcat to do span, who's played some quarterback?
It ain't gonna be that. No. If they were gonna wild deuce against Georgia, that's never happening. It would be right now. It would be Brock. But let's not even put that. Mark, we love you. We appreciate the tip. You're the best. Let's not even put that in the universe. But it would be right now, especially judging from Thursday, Brock Glenn is clearly, and as he should be, it's his second spring. He's been here for a full calendar year. He's clearly ahead of Cromanhawk. Yes. And he looked sharp today. I thought he was, other than the throw that Little probably should have picked off right near the end, I was really impressed with him almost all day long.
Thank you, Mark. Justin was asking, how are Glenn and Luke doing? Which one do you think will have the backup quarterback position and possibly be next year's starter?
Again, right now, it's
a guess for the latter part of that. But yeah, I mean, right now, clearly, if DJ wins, holds on to the job, it's clearly Brock Glenn right now as the backup quarterback.
Clearly. Yes, correct. But I mean, we'll see in August, right? Like, guys make huge jumps, but the first spring practice, man, like Brock Glenn last year. It's a lot thrown at you. You're not going to look good. Brock Glenn was well behind Tate Rodemaker a season ago because, well, Tate's not a great example. He'd been here a lot longer, but you guys know what I mean. Brock Glenn's supposed to look a lot better than Croman Hawk right now, and he does. But, again, we got a full month of spring to see if he can catch up.
Charlie's back. Simply says, Ernie Sims, question mark?
Yeah, he's out there.
I had him on. I tried to get him on video, but I wasn't filming it. I had my camera down. It was in my holster, but I saw him run out with the linebacker. So yeah, he was dressed and running with the team. So.
We think he's going to be a part of the staff in some capacity, but they have not made an official announcement about it.
I would some sort of analyst role. Everybody. I mean, they're fully staffed on field coaches. So there's not going to be any kind of co linebacker thing. So. But yeah, man, he still looks really good. He still looks like he could play. He'd probably give you 20 snaps right now on a Sunday. I'm glad Quantrell knows asked this question. I kind of had this thought percolating through my head because, like I said, I was on the back end of 11 on 11, so I was like 10 yards behind the quarterbacks. And I'm usually trying to be 15 yards beyond the line of scrimmage to see the action coming at me, but I was behind the quarterbacks about 10 yards. And man, like DJ, I don't know if it was complete or not, but he threw – I don't know, man, like at least a 15 yard out, maybe like 20. And it was just so effortless. As you've mentioned, you and I were talked about on the wrap the other day, just flicking it. And we heard about this because remember we were lamenting Trevor Lawrence after what he did to Florida State in 2018. And then, you know, there was people out there saying that, oh, the next guy they've got behind him coming to town even has a stronger arm. And I was like, how in the hell is that possible?
Dabo was like, it's the best arm I've ever seen or something like that. Yeah.
I was thinking about this. So he's asking, where do you think DJ's arm strength ranks in program history? I was thinking about it. When he threw that, I'm like, is that the strongest arm they've had here since Jameis?
Oh, I think it's probably even stronger than Jameis's. It's hard to tell through. I will say this through two practices. He has not let it loose on a deep throw where it's like, okay, I want to see if you can throw a Hail Mary from your own 31-yard line. Like, do you have the arm strength to do that? Is it Aaron Rodgers craziness from 8 to 10 years ago in his prime, before he was a politician? Aslan's right. Like, it's the same thing with the Cam Smith comparison I made in yesterday's show. Like, we don't get to see Cam Smith really let it rip from third base a lot when he's having to throw somebody out on a ground ball. I haven't really seen DJ let it rip to see exactly what it looks like at full velocity or full distance. It's the ease of which he throws those balls where it still goes really. That's what makes me think when we do see it, it will be for sure the strongest arm we've seen. I don't even know who's in the conversation. Is it Xavier Lee?
Ricks.
I think X had a bigger arm than him. It seemed like, but yeah, you know, X had a huge arm. Kendra before he got hurt. Does that count? Danny McManus. I don't know. I don't know. I would say he's absolutely in the running for top three, and he might have the strongest arm we've ever seen.
Rene Lamone.
You know, who had a great arm. Devontre.
Oh, Richardson. Yeah.
He had a cannon for a right arm. What a one of the more talented athletes. Never really panned out for him in either sport here at Florida State, but one of the more talented athletes that's been in Tallahassee.
What about the former Middle Tennessee head coach? Is he out on the field with the team? Rick Stockstill. Yes, he's out there.
Yeah.
Analyst. Analyzing stuff.
And they're not allowed to coach, right? They're not allowed to offer their input on the field. Isn't that the rule?
Yeah.
That they abide by, gang. I was just clarifying.
Charlie's back. Is there a Florida State running back that reminds y'all of Roydell Williams? I was going to say, I was thinking about that today. I was like, maybe Trayshawn Ward, but that feels kind of lazy. I don't know. Do you have a better one or anything that stands out?
I think he's a bit thicker than Trayshawn. No, I don't. And again,
that low kind of.
I feel like he's kind of taller than we think he is. Because he does get low to the ground. He's got those legs. But I feel like he's not. Is he 5'7"?
No. He's 5'10".
That's what I thought. He's almost 6 foot, but he kind of carries himself. And I mean, this is a plus, is a positive. That's like one of those 5'8 scat back guys that can bounce off people. And has those thick lower legs. But let me see him. It's a fair question. I'm just going to punt everything down the road. I apologize. But I've watched him take two carries against a real defense, and he's not being tackled. So it's hard to tell right now. There's not a lot you can glean from a running back who's not getting tackled and isn't in pads as far as a running style quite yet. Watch his highlights from Alabama. That's on me. Let me go watch those, and I'll have an actual answer.
Dwayne forgot to congratulate you, Corey, on the wedding. So,
thank you, Dwayne. I got a lot of Mike Norvell and his wife independently congratulated me on the wedding. So that was nice of them to do that.
Kenny Felder, Ric Flair offers up arm strength.
That's what everybody says. His comment about Felder and Charlie Ward were both quarterbacks at the same time, and they were supposed to compete for the starting job after Weldon and Brad Johnson left. But then Kenny was so good at baseball that he stuck with baseball, or maybe he knew that Charlie was going to beat him out, so he just switched to baseball full time, became a first round pick in baseball. It was a pitcher too, he was a hitter, but he could also pitch. So yeah, he did have a really strong arm.
Welcome to the party, William. We spoke about this near the beginning of the show, but he does ask, is there a receiver that has separated themselves from the group?
If there is one, and it's probably a reach on my part because we're talking about just a handful of plays through 2 days. As I said at the beginning, I think it's Destin Hill. But, you know, that doesn't mean he's their best receiver. It just means he had three big plays today. So he leads the team right now in biggest plays. But I don't know if you ask Dugans if he'd say it's Malik Benson. Or, you know, Hakeem, you know, I just don't know what they would say. But for me, Destin Hill is the one that's made some, you know, he's had four huge plays in 2 days.
Corey Bates is back, and he brought Abe Lincoln with him once again.
Dollars.
Old CB coming correct.
Thank you, man. Is there more separation between DJ and Brock or Brock and Luke? Corey, can we get a vitamin energy flex?
I can't. I'm not. Well, yeah, sure. There you go. There's one, Aslan. Freeze that.
Full screen? Can I go full screen or no?
No. Don't do that. Okay. Don't be crazy. Well, yeah, just because I want to see if Stephanie's watching.
Hold on. Let me remove the banner. There we go.
There we go. Oh. There, right there. Oh. There you go.
Whoa. Like that. Water pocket was like, bingo. Oh,
they all fell down. Hey. The whole bar just went silent. I got Corey to set. I wanted Corey to I planted that question.
Oh, nice.
I told Corey to ask me to do that. I think it's obvious, Aslan. I think you do too, that it's the separation between Brock and Luke is much greater than the separation between DJ and Brock.
I would say much greater, but greater. Yes.
Yeah, right. But again, isn't that expected? DJ is coming into a system he's never run before. Brock has run it for a full year. Luke has never run it before, and Luke's a true freshman. So it just makes sense that Brock would be well ahead of Luke after two practices. And Brock's a good player, too, so we'll see how this all goes.
A lot of compliments there.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right. Let's
– we've been about time to wrap this up.
It is. We got through all the questions. All the did you do observations, Corey? Or did you do a story?
I did. They're on the – they should be on the site as we're speaking right now.
All right, well, go check that out over at warchant.com, the ultimate seminal sports source. If you could hit the thumbs up on the way out, we certainly would.
Oh, can I say one other thing? Go check out the Renardo – well, Jordan – all of our interviews from Pro Day on Thursday. They're all really good. We got to talk to Jordan finally, so go watch that. I know a lot of y'all already have 12 minutes. But I thought Renardo overall was just really good. Because it wasn't something he liked to do a lot while he was at Florida State, was talk to us, which is fine. That's his prerogative. but he was really insightful and I don't know, not maybe not outgoing is the right word, but talkative, especially for him. And I thought he did a really good job. So go watch the Renardo Green interview, especially when he's talking about what they did at the combine and them getting left out. And then here comes Zichan. I wonder why Aslan left the shot. You left the whole room.
And if you need any dental work in the Big Bend, Thomasville's own Zach Chandler, Dr. Zach Chandler's got you covered. Zichan, play the man his song.
Dollar, dollar, bills, y'all.
What? Must be the money.
Come on, Zach. Incredible.
Old sea dog.
My goodness.
I wish you'd asked the question. Neither Shane didn't ask the question either. Z, you're the man. You know that. Tell your lovely wife we said hello. We'll have to meet up at some point. So I can take you out to dinner. We can spend some of this money.
Yeah. Hey, it's a week old almost, but just needed to fact check you because our guy Homer Hayes on the Twitter machine fact checked us, and I forgot to, I've been meaning to bring it up, but we were talking about the great state of New Mexico, the land of enchantment, I think is the slogan of the state of New
Mexico.
That
seems right. Yeah, that seems right.
And we talked about where's New Mexico State, Las Cruces, Los Alamos, and you talked about Los Alamos being where they built the bomb. Or
yeah.
I thought you said tested the bomb, but he says, I can't help myself, but they mostly built the bomb in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. They tested it in New Mexico.
Well, they mostly designed it in Los Alamos. They developed all the what are they using, uranium in those things?
Yeah.
They mined and developed all the uranium in Oak Ridge and then shipped that over to Los Alamos, at least from my understanding from now of watching Oppenheimer twice.
Oh, wow.
Stephanie and I watched it a couple of days ago. So that's what, and they had them all over the country, but Los Alamos, they weren't just there testing it. That's where all the scientists worked to develop it. That's where Oppenheimer was. He's built the town there. And they weren't, they're just there for the one test. They developed it. They developed, I guess, the theory and how it would work. And then it did work. It did end up working twice.
Renee asked real quick, is the movie good? They still haven't seen it.
It is good, but it's long. And after the bomb goes off for the tests I'm talking about, you might think, oh, we're wrapping it up. We're almost over. And no, you still got another good 45 minutes. But no, I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's really well done and really interesting, but I'm fascinated in that kind of stuff.
All right. Again, we're done, but we're never done over at warchant.com. Jeff Cameron show 1 to 3 o'clock on Friday, sharing his observations. He was at practice, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. If you get a thumbs up on the way out, we'd appreciate it. Thanks for your questions. Thanks so much to Corey Bates, our guy in Bardstown, Dave. Mark Adamczyk.
Mark, what up?
Big Shane Kirkley and Zichan. Just
coming correct.
Yeah, that's what some
those
people would
guys
say.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching this edition, listening to this edition of Wake Up War Chant, live presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill and VitaminEnergy.com.